This podcast is created in partnership with Film Studies and the Faculty of Arts and Social Sciences at the University of Sydney.
We acknowledge the tradition of custodianship and law of the country on which the University of Sydney campuses stand, as well as the Darug people, where we all grew up. We pay our respects to those who have cared for and continue to care for country.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
I see death.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Get away from her, you bitch!
I'm gonna go. Do you want me to go f***ing trash your lights?
Take two.
Film verse.
Film.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to Film vs. Film, the podcast where every episode we throw two different films into the ring, discuss their place in history, their modern virtues, and how they stack up against each other. Which film will hold up, and which film will be left on the cutting room floor? But today, we're here to say au revoir to this year's Oscar season with our draft of the Best Picture Oscar winners of the new millennia. Join us today as Bruce and Herschel rank their favourite films that won the Best Picture Oscar over the last 23 years. I'm filmmaker Craig Anderson, and joining me today are my two best friends from high school, identical twins who lived in a garage down the road from me. Remember the garage days, boys?
Love the garage. Spent years in that garage.
I love that place. It was so, like, it sounds dodgy, like, you know, but it was, I mean, it was a garage,
yeah, but
it was
like
your own space.
World away from the rest
of
the house.
It was my first sense. The only time I got that feeling again, I've had that a few times. The next time I got that was when I arrived at college or university. I had my own little dorm room. It was like your own space.
And also, Herschel had a TV, right? And a VHS player. And then we had DVD players and stuff afterwards.
Yeah.
So
and your mum and dad had to, like, walk outside to come around.
Outside to come into the garage.
There was no door straight in the house.
No.
I dreamed of it because my door, you know, it's always open. The TV was a general space. Everyone could watch what I was watching. And, you know, if they didn't like it, I had to watch something else.
Well, you only get to a certain age, and then I think you're after some privacy. And that's
well, you guys got it.
Yeah,
but then you had each other. I don't know what you're doing with you two staying
in
the
garage. We just had all the same tastes.
Just staring at each other.
Yeah. A lot of the great movies that we've seen, we watched it in that setup.
You're listening to The Legal Eagle and our very own political correspondent. It's Herschel Isaacs. Herschel?
I'm really excited today and a little bit sad as well because, in a way, it's been like a good Oscars period for me. Sometimes I think I always look forward to it, and then sometimes I think, oh man, that was such a letdown. This one was cool. We all caught up for the Oscars, which was unbelievable.
No, all right. We're going to come to that.
Okay.
We're also joined by the man who this year finally returned to teaching.
Yes.
It's the Associate Professor of Film at the University of Sydney, Bruce Isaacs.
Hey, Craig.
What have you been doing if you haven't been teaching these?
Associate Dean Education, so you do sorts of policy,
right?
Leading the education portfolio. But can I say how, to all my film 2002ers, if they're listening, I've just been so incredibly nourished by the teaching process again. I just came from a class then five minutes ago. They're just wonderful, like smart and interesting.
What do you reckon? Kids these days, they're more excited about film or they know more, do you reckon?
I mean, I think we have a really good film program. That second year course subject I'm teaching, which is on genre, tomorrow I'm doing a lecture on body horror. It's provocative stuff, so the students kind of want to get involved. And that has been wonderful to see my end.
All right, stick with us, listeners, as we're up for a podcast today full of gameplay, trivia, and strategy. As always, we want to remind listeners that we grew up in Western Sydney, and we want to shout out to the Darug land where we were raised. Now, just like we did when we were children, we all watched the Oscars this week. That was only two nights ago. And if you follow the Film vs. Film podcast on Instagram, then you would have seen us at Bruce's house having a great time watching the broadcast.
It was really excellent.
It was awesome. When all was said and done, I ended up seeing 8 out of the 10 Best Picture nominations.
Yeah.
So I kind of saw pretty much all the performances. There were some really interesting movies on display at these Oscars.
Bruce, I thought it was interesting. You said it was the best in 5 years, at least.
I thought it was the best quality that the Oscars has put up in a really long time. If you just look at those 10 movies, I'd probably drop 5 of them.
Mm.
But if you think dropping 5 means we go back to the traditional model of the Oscars Best Picture,
which is
the
why
other
I wish
5
we could do.
Are very seriously brilliant.
I'd love us
films.
To go back to 5
if,
again.
If you don't remember, if you haven't heard, 2 episodes ago we did our worst off. Oh no, it was only last episode that we did our predictions for this year's Oscars, where we discussed all the films that were nominated for Best Picture and talked about. I do have our scorecard here.
Yeah, go. Oh, all excellent. Because right. I thought I was doing pretty well watching it.
That was all right. Well, as we all know, Oppenheimer won 7. And Poor Things won 3. But we accurately predicted Best Picture,
yes,
Best Director, Best Actor, and Best Supporting Actor. Now, we stuffed up.
Who was supporting actor again?
Robert Downey Jr.
Okay, I wasn't actually picking him. Yeah,
Herschel was right. And I got, what's her name? Emma Stone.
Well, you had Emma Stone. We would gone.
We got Lily Gladstone.
Lily Gladstone. So we missed out there, and we also missed out on Emily Blunt. Well, no, sorry. We were thinking it was going to go to Emily Blunt. That's what we had.
Yes,
written.
And who got that?
Well, it went to Emma Stone, didn't it?
No, Emma Stone's best actress. So best supporting.
It's famous. It was Emily Blunt, but it didn't go. It went to. Not America. It was from the Holdovers.
Oh, Holdovers. Sorry, yes. Holdovers.
Oh, did she win?
She won Best Supporting Actor.
That was your
actor.
Call, Craig. You wanted her. Remember, you had her down as winning.
Well, I wanted... Yeah, I was fighting for her.
Interesting. I have no interest in that movie. I didn't enjoy it. But I will say that she's the light in that movie. Mm. Her performance is actually a standout amongst the Jim Hardy and the other guy.
We had put down film editing would go to Killers of the Flower Moon to Thelma Schumacher, but it did not. It went to Oppenheimer. We accurately picked international feature film The Zone of Interest.
Yes.
We also nailed Poor Things for makeup and hairstyle. We were hoping for either Killers of the Flower Moon, and I wanted Poor Things for best music.
Yes.
But it did go to Oppenheimer again.
That's the one I was probably most disappointed of the night.
No, but can I just say something quickly? Did I tell both of you that the next day
you mentioned I watched it again?
The whole movie? I watched Oppenheimer, the whole thing again.
What?
Yes.
Well, the day after the Oscars?
Yes.
What? That's the fourth time you've seen it.
Any good?
You're a bro for it.
No, here's the interesting thing.
You're a bro.
He's one of those Nolan fanboys.
Yeah, he's a bro.
No, here's the interesting thing. I still don't think it's top tier. Like, there are aspects
of it.
Well,
we said that. Why are you trying to convince us?
No, but if the whole world is thinking one thing and you're thinking the other thing, there's a chance that you're the crazy one. But so you verify it again, you watch it again, and there are moments of sheer beauty and brilliance. But then there are so many moments that a lower tier, mostly comprising performance by Kenneth Branagh, interestingly enough. A lot of his Niels Bohr is nuts.
Okay.
Like, he's so... You know,
I mean,
I'm not going to watch it again.
I'm not watching it again.
You're not convincing me
that.
To watch it again. I'll tell you what, we also picked Sound, The Zone of Interest. It did win the best Oscar.
That means Richard King didn't win.
Yeah, I know.
Remember we were sitting there and saw his name come up? Because I was hoping he'd go up on the stage.
We had three dogs in that. But we had Lily Gladstone, we had Richard King, and we had Tony McNamara, the writer of Poor Things. So all of our personal friends, people we sort of have.
That shows you the kind of people we hang out with.
So, what are you guys doing at home, huh? The other thing we did pick was original screenplay Anatomy of a Fall. We had that right. So that was good.
And I'm very excited about that because I think as a piece of writing, that is just, that's old school, new school. It's fantastic, that one.
But all in all, it was a great night. We had a lot of potato salad, champagne.
We had a lot of champagne.
All right, today is the last time we break our format as we're doing another draft in the style of the excellent American film podcast Screen Drafts, which really does gamify our love of movies and picking your favorite movie. Check it out now where you ever listen to podcasts. It's Screen Drafts. So we're going to do that again today, and then we're back to normal, back to the original film versus film. Two episodes ago, we voted for the seven worst films that took out the prize over the last few decades. Have you had any feedback from that? Has anyone said anything?
I haven't had any feedback. Yeah. Someone did. I met with a couple of people from Sydney Uni. Actually, Terry Flew always listens to the podcast. Yes. Hi, Terry. And it was so nice because Terry Flew and someone you know, Dominic King. From The Chaser.
Dom. Knight. Dom Knight.
Dom Knight. Sorry, Knight. I was meeting with them, and they were just talking about how did we put the podcast together because they were doing a podcast as part of Terry's current research.
We can have a chat to them.
And it was really nice. Yeah. Like it was, and what was really lovely, and thank you to them, was saying they thought it was a really high quality podcast. It and that's for people who kind of know their stuff, right?
Top draw here. I mean, we have
so thank you to them.
And thank you to the University of Sydney. They do donate the room that we record in, and that helps a lot.
Oh, and we should mention the trivia. Oh, no, do we do that in the
last come
episode?
To the trivia, yeah. But going back to the worst of, we voted Green Book as the worst in the last 23 years. And then second worst was Crash. Then Hurt Locker, Slumdog Millionaire, 12 Years a Slave. The sixth worst film we thought was A Shape of Water. And the seventh was Gladiator.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I thought that was actually a very good
Herschel,
list.
Herschel vetoed
me on Return of the King.
Return of the King. So that's back in the category. The films that are still remaining that are up for grabs today to be the best seven include Everything Everywhere All at Once, which is something we've already voted down before. Coda, Nomadland, Parasite, Moonlight, Spotlight, our light double.
All of the lights.
Birdman, Argo, The Artist, The King's Speech, No Country for Old Man, The Departed, which is a film I know ranks highly in our opinions, Million Dollar Baby, Chicago, and The Beautiful Mind. They are all up playing today. Today's episode probably won't contain spoilers because these movies are quite old, but sometimes the ending might be an influence as to why we do like them. So watch out. I can make no guarantees that we won't spoil those films. All right, let's get into it. Bruce and Herschel, have you got your rankings in order?
Yes, I do. Yep. 1 to 7.
Yes,
one
I believe seven? I do have the order, yes.
And you've got a couple of extra just in case some get beat
I've got actually the 9 best.
You've got your 9 best, yes.
I tell you, the rankings posed a very special type of challenge here today.
Like, I agree. When I look at the list, I'm going, I don't know if I've got 9. I've got like maybe 3 or 4 favorites. But
so same, look, I at the very seven, least, I can say I was again dispirited by the top 7 as I was by the bottom 7.
Well, like we did last time, maybe as we go through, we'll look at what else was up that year.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea.
To see what
it's
was,
also
what
a testament to, Bruce, what you said before, that this year is a pretty special year.
It's
that
special.
We got.
I mean, if you look at what we're up against here, I mean, any 4 films could have taken out a Best Picture in one of these years. So.
Now, as part of the gameplay, I give the drafters 2 vetoes each. And last time, Herschel... Those carry over to today,
yes.
But Bruce, you've used one.
Have I? What did I use it for?
Oh, no, it was Herschel.
Herschel used
it. I used Lord of the Rings.
Right, so you've got 1 left, and Bruce,
I've got 2.
You have 2
left. So I'm
left.
In prime pouncing position.
And I was thinking, should I give away a veto when we do our trivia, or should I just leave it at 1 and 2, do you think?
I reckon leave it on 1 and 2.
Leave it at 1 and 2.
I like what I'm hearing. All right, tonight we're playing Oscars trivia. Just like those many UCD students who turned up to the library roof to play a few weeks ago. How fun was that?
That was like, honestly, one of the best student nights I've ever been part of.
It was very...
Thank you to the students. Thank you to the library, the University of Sydney Library, and especially Dina and Brett.
Well,
it's very cool.
Yeah, but when this comes out, it's only 8 days ago. So
yeah.
You can go to Instagram, at both the library and us, and...
Oniswa, the student newspaper. Thank you so much to Valerie and Aiden for coming. They wrote a lovely article about it with lots of lovely pictures. So I just want to say that was a great event for film studies, for us at Film vs. Film, and for the library.
And just the other thing I want to say is we had about, I think we had 60 students.
Wow.
We had some helpers with us. The whole thing, seriously, it was just... a really, really fun night. And everyone was massively into it. That was
yeah,
a cool
I liked
thing, right?
The kids were awesomely into
it. Yeah, and my students have told me how much they enjoyed it.
Now, if you were one of the students and you were listening, I think you're going to enjoy a little bit of revenge now because we're putting Bruce and Herschel to the test. And they were making up questions with AI on the spot. What was it? Kermit the Frog hosting in 1958.
Okay,
what was that about?
That was AI, but most of that stuff I made up myself.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to see how well they do with Oscars trivia today. The same rules as always. Once you jump in, you must now wait till the other person has a guess before you're allowed to jump in. All right? First person to 6 points win. I have 12 questions.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes,
go.
I am.
Ready to go.
All right. So I reckon you can just say your answer. It's part of the thing. I think you'll be surprised at how hard some of these are, but also how easy. Here we go. The year is 1954. The movie... this
On the waterfront.
He does it. He doesn't even need the full question. On the waterfront.
Very
okay, let me read the rest. This movie won Best Picture, beating out the following 7 nominations. Seven for Seven Brothers... 3 Coins in a Fountain, The Caine Mutiny, The Country Girl, but which one was On the Waterfront?
See, I wouldn't have gotten even with all those clues.
I
need
a
Marlon Brando.
I was going to go Marlon Brando. I was
Carl
say
Malden.
Trade
I would have gotten
Union.
It with Carl Malden.
Yeah, I would have given cool. added bonus things, but Bruce just got it off the year.
I love that movie so
well,
much.
Well, that's 1 point to Bruce Isaacs. Number 2. In 1962, the film To Kill a Mockingbird lost the Best Picture Oscar to this epic drama. 1962, winner of Best Picture was...
Lawrence of Arabia?
There it is. Bruce with 2 points. First to 6. Bruce is ahead. Herschel, I just remind you have none.
I just remind you're allowed to answer.
You're allowed to speak
in this. Can you check your microphone, please?
All right, number 3. Gandhi won the
Ben Kingsley.
Nope.
Is that desperate I am?
Yeah, no, you got to wait. Gandhi won the Best Picture Oscar over... What science fiction film?
Blade Runner.
Nope.
2001.
Nope.
What?
Sorry, what, Gandhi in 2001 was the same year? maybe not. Have another go. We're 1980.
Wait, no.
Okay. Gandhi won the Best Picture Oscar over what science fiction film? It was also nominated.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Nope.
God, man, what? Gandhi, did you give the year for Gandhi or you didn't
I can
do
give
it?
You the year, 1982.
So I knew that the year was 82. That's why I thought Blade Runner was nominated.
Science fiction.
Uh-huh. I can give you
THX?
Nope.
Okay, my turn. No, you're okay, out. Bruce. Give me another clue.
I would say it's sci-fi crossover family. Crossover adventure.
I got it.
Wait, yeah. Wait a second. But is it your
Bruce's
turn or is it
it's
anyone's
Bruce's
turn?
Bruce's turn, so let him have a go.
I've got it.
E.T.?
Yes.
Oh, man!
E.T. the extraterrestrial.
I can't believe it took us that long to get E.T.
But isn't that a throw to say science fiction when you think of E.T.?
Yeah. It is like a throw. You know why? Yeah. Because we've made science
because
fiction
I don't
as synonymous
see that
science
with fiction
like,
at all.
Especially at the moment, highbrow science fiction.
Yeah.
That kind
well,
of
science fiction
consciously
is completely
UFOs,
right
aliens.
Now.
I mean, is it inaccurate, though? I mean, it is.
I don't think it's sci-fi. I think
arriving
it's,
on Earth.
It's much nearer coming of age.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I think it's, you know, it's got an alien, but. That's not what aliens actually look like.
Kids still fly through
it's
the
still sci-fi
air, bicycles, and then a UFO takes off at the
yes.
end. I mean, it's still,
sci-fi,
I think. All right, next question. So, hang on, who won that?
I won it.
Herschel,
yes,
so that's 2-1. Herschel has two. Bruce has two. Herschel has one. Which 90s film about stripping was nominated? Nominated for Best Picture. 90s movie about stripping.
It can't be Showgirls.
It is not. It is not Striptease or Showgirls.
That's stripping.
It's about stripping, did you
it
say?
It is about stripping.
90s?
It was in the 90s. Let me give you a little clue then, one other clue. The strippers are male.
Yeah, I had Magic Mike, but that's from the other day.
Too late.
Okay.
What is the full
got
Monty?
Yep. Be full Monty.
Well, there
God
is. Well, hang on. Who wins that? Bruce said
no,
it
yeah,
first.
Oh,
okay,
is it I even wins. Threw in a Jeopardy, what is the full Monty?
What film, so follow-up question here, what film beat The Full Monty to win Best Picture? I'm not going to tell you the year because I think it'll give it away, but what film won Best Picture?
Dances with Wolves?
No, that's like 7 years, 8 years too early. What film beat The Full Monty to win Best Picture?
So we're talking 90s. Aaron Brockovich?
Nope.
Titanic?
Yes.
Yeah! Oh, come on!
Yeah.
Aaron Brockovich didn't even win,
did
it?
That is 4 points
four
for Bruce,
to me.
One for Herschel. This is not going well, man.
This is not going well.
This is, I don't think you're going to go well here either. Name one other film nominated in this year, 1997, for Best Picture. So there was Titanic, Full Monty, and three others. Can you name one of them?
No, I cannot.
I can tell you.
Yeah, give us clue.
Clue, man.
One is a comedy. One is
In and Out.
Nope. One is a feel-good drama / coming of age, and the other is a hard-boiled detective story.
What about Devil in the Blue Dress?
I'll name some actors from these movies: James Cromwell.
Pig.
Ella Confidential.
Yes.
You
like
said pig. I mean
pig.
I mean, what's the
you've
name
just
of the
renamed
movie?
George Miller.
You're talking Babe.
Pig. Babe.
Pig movie.
That's pretty funny.
All right, so there it is. The other two films nominated that year. Would you like? Should we give Herschel? You're on five. He's on one.
Go.
This is your chance to get 2 points right here. You ready?
2 points.
2 points.
Yeah, I'm gonna let you try and guess the other two, but I'll give you one clue each. One film comedy with Jack Nicholson.
Oh, come
as
on.
As good as it gets.
Yeah, that's a point.
Okay, good.
The other one features breakout performances by two young actors that have just dominated, including an Oscar-winning director.
Hang on, breakout performance by what?
By two young actors.
I can give you...
One of those actors went on to win Best Picture for a film in 2012.
Herschel, I can give you a clue to further help you out.
Hang on.
It's an unwatchable film.
This isn't Keanu Reeves and River Phoenix, is it?
You've missed it. That's my own private hideout.
Yeah.
We're talking, Bruce.
Good Will Hunting.
There it is.
Oh,
Herschel,
no.
That was the clue. It's an unwatchable. It's one of our legendary unwatchable
when
films.
Ben Affleck went on to direct Argo.
Yeah, that's right.
Which was nominated for a lot
of
stuff.
That was in our list as well. Argo's in the mix.
You know what? Ben Affleck shares that with Greta Gerwig, that the film was nominated for Best Picture, but the director wasn't.
Best Director.
Oh, was he nominated? Well,
no, he wasn't nominated that year, and it was a big slight, like Greta Gerwig.
Yeah, he's actually had a successful career as director. The Town is excellent. Have you guys seen the movie about the murder of the dude who played Superman?
I know you're talking about. I haven't seen it.
It's such a good movie. Yeah. It's Hollywood Land.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Really great.
Is that Ben Affleck?
Ben Affleck. Yeah, really great.
All right, so the scorecard is Bruce on 5, Herschel on 2.
I'm not giving up.
I'm going to say first to 7, okay, instead of 6. So this isn't the final one. Question 7. What David Lynch film was nominated
Mulholland for... Drive.
Nope, it's with Herschel. What David Lynch film was nominated for Best Picture during the 1980s? And I'll give you an extra clue, early 80s.
Elephant Man.
Yes!
Yes!
Herschel!
Woo,
produced by
pressure.
Mel Brooks.
That was a lot of pressure then.
Because before you said early 80s,
you were
going to
say Blue Velvet.
Blue Velvet was nominated
in 86, wasn't it?
I
think so.
I don't think it was nominated. That's why I thought it was the only film nominated in the 80s for David Lynch.
That's sad, because that boy does that deserve
It. Yeah, no, it's not nominated for Best Picture.
Wow, that's so crap.
All right, so now the score is Herschel on 3, Bruce on 5. We have five more questions. One of the questions from our student trivia night was about the only horror film to win Best Picture. It was, of course, Silence of the Lambs. But a lot of students guessed The Exorcist, which didn't win but was nominated for Best Picture in 1973. What did win Best Picture?
In 1973?
Mm-hmm.
The Verdict?
Nope. It is with Bruce.
French Connection.
Nope.
Too early.
Clue?
Not
the movie Clue.
The films that also didn't win that year?
Okay.
Give you some perspective. American Graffiti was nominated for Best Picture. Cries and Whispers. A Touch of Class. Cries and Whispers was Ingmar Bergman. So they're the four other films. This one won. The Exorcist was nominated. And this film is... set, I think, in the 1920s, and it's about deception and gambling.
Sting.
Yes,
oh,
Bruce. There is 6 points.
I love that
movie.
I am the victor.
I should have said a famous piece of music, I think, would help me with that. So The Sting, that was 1973. Bruce, you are on 6.
73.
Herschel, you are not doing well. I'm so sorry. You're on 3
points.
I
forgot we go to 7. I announced my own victory.
I mean, we can if we want. I'll give you... well, let's rapid fire through these last ones. Here we go. During the 1970s, Michael Douglas won the Best Picture
Oscar. One Flew the Cuckoo's Nest.
There it is. Okay, Herschel is coming back.
I'm back, baby.
Okay.
6-4. Here's another question. Here are 4 films. Tell me what beat them to win Best Picture.
Whoa.
The 4 films are Fargo, Jerry Maguire, Secrets and Lies, Shine. This is all the same year. The year is 1996. What is the film that won that year? Best Picture.
96.
It was, we discussed it just recently on the podcast, actually, because of its lead actor. I'm happy to... been on. It is Ralph Fiennes I'm talking about.
Well, English Patient.
Bruce wins.
That's it.
Bruce wins. All right, Herschel, here's one for you,
Here
we go. Hannah and her sisters lost the Best Picture Oscar to Hannah and her sisters. This is 1986, I think. Lost it to...
oh, I know that one as well.
All right, Bruce.
No. Wall Street.
No.
No?
No, that's. I think that would be 87.
Oh, 87.
So
okay. This
is Platoon.
Platoon.
Yes. There it is. Bruce wins the trivia, the Oscars trivia. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Bruce.
Thank you.
Well done.
Good work.
Good job, well done.
Hey, this is what I want to know, Bruce. You get to pick now the orders. You can be drafter A, and you can have positions 1, 4, and 6. So you'd be picking the best picture and the 4th and the 6th best, okay?
Okay.
Or you can be drafter B, and you can pick positions 2, 3, 5, and 7.
I'll be drafter B.
You want to pick
2, 3, 5, and 7.
So Bruce wants to add more films to the list. That's
because
what he cares
about. I also
think
things are going to move around a bit.
All right. And maybe you're confident in your first position then, I think, is
well,
what
that's
I'm
the
hearing.
Other thing.
Okay.
I'm relatively confident.
You also, and you can, for the first position, veto it.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing, because I got vetoes.
You've got
up
2
my sleeve.
Vetoes
yeah.
up your sleeve. Herschel only has 1. So Herschel, you are now going to be deciding the 1st, 4th, and 6th.
Okay.
Bruce will be picking 2, 3, 5, and 7. If it has been picked, in the seven worst, it cannot be played now.
Got it.
Okay. So that leaves our list of films like Birdman, Argo, Chicago, A Beautiful Mind,
Moonlight Spotlight.
All right, let's get into it. Drafter A, Bruce, I believe you're going first.
Yes, I am.
No, that can't be right.
I am. You said
no, seven.
You said I'm two, three.
Oh, yeah, you've chosen
four,
that. You're
seven,
Drafter
yeah.
B, sorry.
I'm Drafter B,
Drafter
sorry.
Drafter B, no, yeah, Drafter B for Bruce.
Oh, yeah.
You're going first with the seventh best film of the Oscars from the year 2000 and 2023. And these are only the Best Picture winners. Remember,
yes, has to have won Best Picture.
It must have won Best Picture. So, Bruce, what would you like to draft at position number seven? He's running it down on a piece of paper. One of the rare musicals to win Best Picture. Maybe not rare, maybe five in the history, I think.
Yeah, there have been a few.
Yeah, it is Chicago.
Yes.
Now, who directed Chicago?
Rob Marshall.
Martin Richards, I think.
Yeah. Martin Richards?
Oh, no, he's the producer, I'm sorry. Who was the director?
I think Rob Marshall.
Marshall.
He's a guy, yeah, he's a big musical.
You know, I've never seen that movie.
You've never seen Chicago?
You, Bruce, you always tell me to watch that. Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Never seen it.
Well, Bruce, what brings you to put Chicago at number seven?
I think it's just, it's so well designed. It's a classic musical, so the music is wonderful.
Mm.
Unlike a lot of later musicals, the people who are acting in it can dance, can sing. It's extremely polished. And when you blend, kind of gangster era Chicago and the musical form, and you stage it with Rob Marshall, it's so elaborate and colorful and sort of zany. And when you see the gangster number where they're in the flapper dresses at the end,
it is
just one of the most incredible sequences in American
movies.
It reminds
me of the Smooth Criminal film.
Yeah, a little bit, yes.
Yeah, yeah. The year was 2002. We've got Renee Zellweger, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Richard Gere, but my favorite actor in it is John C. Reilly.
Oh, he's wonderful.
He's such a
Richard Gere, it's one of his best moments as well. Because, you know, he had gone away, you know, he was no longer the American Gigolo, right? Although he's performed Officer and Gentleman, where he's so just magnetic and charismatic. So to do this, he sings great, he dances
It was the
great.
Beginning or almost like towards the beginning of him becoming a early statesman character.
Yeah, and then he made some really good films.
Yeah.
With that new model Richard
Gere. Well, the
Richard
thing that Gere had, or he has it actually, is that he can act and he's got just incredible charisma.
Yeah.
That's what he's had in his entire career.
He's just great in it. You should check it out, Herschel.
Well, you know, what I did wonderful. Was, through all the years, I looked at the other the nominations.
Yeah.
And I've put a word next to years to describe how I feel about that. And
what do you think of 2002?
I said just awful.
What?
Well, what are the
Wait,
other movies?
I can tell you the others are Gangs of New York.
That's all right. Gangs of New York's
The Hours?
No, I always had a lot of time for The Hours. It hasn't dated as well, but it's decent.
Okay, we've got The Polanski, The Pianist.
Oh, actually, I do have a note on that. Mm-hmm. I said it was the last time that Polanski's name could be used at the Oscars.
Yeah, right.
That was
the
end of Polanski.
Well, we also,
interestingly enough, don't forget Adrian Brody. He won
basically,
Best Actor. He assaulted Halle Berry.
That was. I was looking at Oscar's shameful things. We're thinking about those.
What did he do?
He kissed Halle Berry, he just went up to collect his award and gave her a big kiss. And then ever since then, she's like, "What the hell?" And everyone in even the people in the night were a bit like, "Ugh."
Yeah, really. It was really rough. Weird.
It was too much. And then
who would ever thought there were strange people in Hollywood, huh?
Holly weird. The other film nominated that year was The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Nah, Chicago's better than that.
All right, I'm happy with Chicago at number seven. Herschel, okay,
I'm not going to veto it. Yeah. I don't think we've got a hell of a lot to pick from, personally. So,
I think, Herschel, it is now your pick for number six.
Okay.
So it's the sixth best film that we think. What do you think?
Okay, the sixth best film is... I believe you're both going to disagree with this.
Okay.
So
I'm just waiting a veto, man.
Well, if you are going to veto for a negative reason, Herschel should describe why he likes it so we can hear about it.
But you've still got to, you haven't voted, actually. You haven't shown Craig the.
No,
movie.
No. You write it out for me so I know
what
it is. Herschel is writing it down on a piece of paper. And
okay, that's my six.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think this is controversial. I think because I know what certain members in this room think of this film, I think it might not remain...
I'm intrigued.
It might not remain at number six.
I don't think it's going to stay at six.
Position number six, Herschel has chosen Martin Scorsese's The Departed. Okay. Bruce is checking his notes. Maybe he's not going to go straight to Vita. So Herschel, talk about why you like it.
Okay, so I say it because although I've seen The Departed many times and I enjoy it every time I see it, I think it's, I don't know the word I'd use, it's the most loose of Scorsese's films. I feel that the performances are sometimes spot on, but sometimes I think some of the actors, they go a little bit too far. I don't think Jack Nicholson is great in this movie. I think he's a bit caricatured at times.
I find it weird because Bruce had said previously, when we did The Departed versus Blue Steel on our podcast, Bruce had said it was like the first time Scorsese even said, look, I won an Oscar for doing a genre film. Every other film I do is loose and off, you know, just crazy off the cuff.
Or just even like a character film.
Yeah, but I guess that's what I guess that's what I'm judging it against. Like Infernal Affairs or something like that. These are the whole thing is meticulously plotted. Yeah. Whereas with Departed, he's got a degree of license and agency that Scorsese has in everything.
And it depends how you take that, because I think Departed is trying to take a very tight story, Infernal Affairs, and turn it into a kind of grand American Odyssey type thing, you know, like a huge narrative of the failure of the immigrant Irish kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's a much bigger mythological film.
I do remember at the end of the film, the rat on the banister made me laugh in cinema. Yeah. I was like, what?
I mean, I love that. I don't mind the rat on the banister.
No, I didn't.
If Scorsese wants to be symbolic and playful, I think that's really cool. I think, though, that at times this movie is as complex as, I don't know, something very complex. The Usual Suspects or something, when you need meticulous plotting everywhere.
Yeah.
And Scorsese isn't always interested in meticulous plotting. It's not his nature. Mm.
All right, but it's coming at number six. Bruce, how do you feel? Do you want to bump it up? Are you going to veto this?
I'm going to veto.
Oh!
He's going to veto.
You have two. You're using one of your two vetoes right now? I'm only going to assume it's because you're going to move it upwards later on.
He wants
to move it. Okay, so that is pushing.
And I mean, I don't want to move it like
or what? You know, Bruce likes
this. I don't mind moving The Departed up.
Right.
I'm just going to foreshadow that I have two movies that I actually think are great on the list.
Right.
I only have two.
Well, okay. I mean, I agree with you. I always thought Bruce
that would have been great. But Herschel, then, what we need from you now is a new position number six.
Okay, new position number six. I'm going to throw in...
He's writing...
I'm
going to
throw in one of our movies ending in the word light.
He's gone for one of the lighter films from the Oscars.
I figured one light had to come in.
Yeah, this. I mean, I agree with this, but I would put it further. I love it. We are talking about the fantastic, is it Boston set?
Boston investigation into child sexual abuse by the Catholic Church.
Yeah, we're talking about Spotlight.
Now, here's the thing. I think Spotlight is a very good movie as a procedural, and it's very interesting. The only thing that forbids me from putting it higher is that if you put Spotlight next to something like All the President's Men, which I consider to be one of the great ones.
You would call it the greatest procedural.
I probably
like Spotlight more.
I don't think Spotlight is... Okay, I'm not going to say it's All the President's Men, because then we're entering a certain terrain of the greatest moments in history, right?
Jeez.
I think Spotlight is top draw filmmaking.
I think it's great.
I think it's procedurally, the performances... Also, it's on a different sort of a canvas, right? In All the Presidents, you're talking about two investigators.
Mm.
This is run by a team of investigators in a newspaper. And the way they do, it's sort of up there with The Verdict or All the Presidents. I think Spotlight is justifiably one of the very best American investigative journalist movies.
To add to your painting of a canvas, I like that it's about family and church and you're abroad. The people involved in the story are... in the community.
Well, that's what I love most about it.
Being destroyed.
They all grew up.
When you look at All the
like
President's
that.
Men, and now in this post-Trump era, it's like, the president's crazy. We all know that.
Yeah.
That
like, who gives a stuff,
who
right?
Who cares?
No, but what I do like about... Okay, I don't want to harp on All the President's Men and procedurals, but what I like about it is that it forces the viewer to engage with genuine complexity. If you want to get your head around that movie, I've read the book, right? So I feel confident with the detail of it. But on the first viewing, that is hard work. But hey, I do love Spotlight.
Yeah.
It's Mark Ruffalo's the first time he's viewed or he comes across as one of the lead actors, one of the great actors.
Also, you know who's amazing? Is it Liv Schreiber?
Yeah.
He's as the guy that
he's
comes
stoic.
In from the outside who has to... What about when he has to meet the... Is it? It's not the Archbishop or it's... the head of the Boston Diocese.
Yeah, yeah.
That sequence is so stunning.
Yeah.
Because he's absolutely, as you know, he's stoic. Mm. He's very soft-spoken.
You know what that reminds me of?
You don't screw around with
is
me.
The Wolf of Wall Street, the moment that the FBI sits opposite. Yes. Yeah, that's a very similar scene of two powerful meetings.
And where it's understated, and we know what's going on here, but we're not going to say it overtly.
Yeah.
Which is great screenwriting and sensational acting.
We're talking. So this is coming in at number six. I think it's going to stay here, Bruce. You don't want to move
it
up?
I think it's going to stay.
So there it is at number six. And it's 2015 that these were the awards. The other films that year, this is one of the 10, is Room. Remember the Room? The Revenant with the bear. The Martian.
Famously, it's where DiCaprio wins his only Best Actor Oscar thus far.
We had Brooklyn. I'm not even sure what that is. Bridge of Spies. The Big Short.
I didn't like
another
Bridge
film
of Spies. Big Short's good.
Yeah.
I do like Big
and Short. Our own George Miller's Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, Mad Max isn't... The problem with Mad Max Fury Road is that the guy also did Road Warrior. And... Road Warrior is just one of the greatest films, action films ever made. And everyone started saying Fury Road was like the greatest action film ever made. And I thought, no, come on, man. You've got to go back and have a look at Road Warrior.
So now it's time to go to position five. Drafting number five, it is Bruce. What have you got writing down now what you want for position five for the best picture winner from the last 23 years? Bruce is writing and he's showing me now. Ah, it didn't take long to play this again. We're playing The Departed by Martin Scorsese. Straight in here. Why would you bump it up?
You shifted one spot.
You shifted one spot?
Two spots.
You wasted a veto?
That's two spots.
No, that was Herschel. You did position seven.
What did I do?
He did six. He wanted it there, but now we've got Spotlight there. And you've just gone and whacked it in.
Used the veto for no reason. I thought you had it at seven, but I confused. I forgot I did Chicago.
You did Chicago.
Idiot.
Okay, so far, the seventh is Chicago, the sixth is Spotlight, and the fifth is now The Departed. Is there anything else we need to say?
Maybe you want to veto that. No, I'm good.
What, you're going to make him waste his veto on your mistake?
Yeah, because now I'm trying to get you to waste the veto.
Because I got another movie. Are you ready for my next movie?
I believe so. So let's move on now after that mistake. We're going to position number four, and I need it from you, Herschel.
I want to provide a bit of orientation.
Herschel,
for
can I remind you, this is your last position until you get to number one. So you've only got two left, positions one and four.
I want to provide a bit of orientation, navigation for our listeners.
Yeah.
This is the second movie that ends in the word light.
Oh, my God. Well, no surprises here. He's written Moonlight from...
Hey, I'm surprised you had that so high.
I think that's 2016, I believe.
I don't know what the dates are anymore.
It is Moonlight from 2016.
So that's at four, am I correct?
That is at position number four. Why do you like Moonlight, Joshua?
Well, because I think Hollywood hit a phase where it was trying to push boundaries. But in pushing boundaries, a lot of the stuff came across as like poorly
tokenistic,
formed.
Tokenistic, perhaps?
Crash, you know, Green Book. Yep. Things that were just... They think it's useful,
just
but it's just
really
awful.
Superficial. Right?
Yeah. Moonlight is something that was
genuine,
great, and authentic, and heartfelt. And look, I just think it's a really lovely little story about the human condition. So I think this is a very special one.
We also have that year Arrival,
which I love. Wow. One of the great sci-fis.
Fences, Mel Gibson's Hacksaw Ridge.
Wow.
In 2016, Hell or High Water.
That's a great film.
Hidden Figures.
I actually had in a comment here, I had that this was actually a good year. This is a pretty cool year.
Well, the other one was La La Land, Manchester by the Sea.
Oh, that's a wonderful film.
And the Australian produced, directed Lion.
It's really between, for me, Moonlight and Manchester by the Sea. But Moonlight is a worthy winner.
Oh, I mean, I'm just glad.
But I love Arrival.
Arrival is also excellent. So all a good year.
That's a good year. And so our list now goes our seven favorite films: Chicago, Spotlight, Departed, and now Moonlight at position number four. It is over to you, Bruce, to give us position three, and then you'll give us position two. You both
I got one
have
veto left.
One veto each left. So, Herschel, now if Return of the King isn't popping up, you might want to jump on it. Okay, wow. Now, this is one of the films I haven't seen, so I can't say much about it. It is a very recent film. Bruce, we're talking about, Bruce playing at position number three, Nomadland.
Yes.
Bruce, tell us about Nomadland.
Oh, it's...
Herschel, have you seen it?
I haven't seen... I've seen some of it. I know you've told me that it's a great, great movie.
Just, okay, so it's one of those wonderful experiments, independent American cinema. Mm. But they've got Frances McDormand, who's playing a kind of modern-day nomad. And what the movie does, it plays into... What it depicts is this amazing American subculture of people who actually don't... you know, they don't build a house and live in it. They don't set up their lives in one place. And they travel. Right. And they drift. So a lot of them have, like, travel homes, like Winnebagos and so on. Mm. And the lead character is Frances McDormand. And, like, a lot of them, they do itinerant work over the winter months. And then they travel. So they're wonderful secrets, sort of the Amazon factory where they're... Oh, and the other thing I do want to say is... Mm. It's beautifully directed by
Chloe Zhao.
Yeah, that's her first movie. And then she went on to Marvel, which was unfortunate. but she gets incredible performances from many of the cast who are actually real-life nomad figures.
Wow.
So you get to meet them and know them. And there's something so beautiful about this idea of, can you always be moving? Do you can you live a life in which you are never, you know, stuck to a space, to a relationship, to a family, to a set of people or community? And I think there's something really deeply philosophical and poetic about the film, you know. So that's why it's at my number three.
Well, there it is. It won the Oscar for Best Picture. It won the Golden Lion at the Venice Film Festival. She won Best Director.
This is Chloe Zhao,
okay.
And Frances McDormand won Best Actress.
She won Best Actress. This is all in 2021, 2020 award.
Is it overreach to say that Frances McDormand, she's got to be up there with the best actresses of the last 30, 40?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And you know
But no one speaks of it in the same vein as Meryl Streep or something like that. But yet, to me...
I also think she was... tragically overlooked for her Lady Macbeth in Joel Coen's Macbeth. Mm.
But Macbeth was tragically overlooked, basically.
I
got nominations, but nobody even spoke about it. No one gave it anything.
I don't understand it at all.
Other films nominated that year was The Father, Judas and the Black Messiah. This is the COVID year. This is the big one where everything was a bit... Mank came out that year, remember? On Netflix,
yes, I remember
famously.
Mank, yeah.
Minari, Sound of Metal, The Trial of the Chicago 7, and Promising Young Woman, a movie I'm a big fan of.
Yeah. Interesting year. Kind of a mixed year, I think.
Yeah, because everyone was delaying their big releases because cinema was shut down for the year. Well, there it is. That is our position number three, Nomadland. And if you haven't seen it, Bruce, off the back of that, I can't wait to see it. Herschel, I believe
it's
we'll
really
have to check
it's
out.
Glorious.
I do want to, but hang on.
Yeah.
Do I get a veto?
What the hell want a veto is happening? With? Hang on. Are you about to veto it?
I was intending to veto it.
All right. If you want, I mean, you've got.
And I feel terrible. I feel terrible doing this because
in
our age of enlightenment and rational thinking, I'm about to veto a movie that I haven't seen.
But this is absolute Trump era film versus film draft.
Have you got a film by a white man you'd like to put in instead?
I've got two movies that I absolutely love. I only have.
Yeah, but Herschel, this is only three. Nomadland is
and
the
you're
three.
Just hoping he's going to nominate one of
because
the
Because you've got number two as
I've
well.
Got two, so. Yeah, but I'm probably on the same page as you.
Herschel, this is madness.
Okay,
you really want
okay,
No. I mean, it's your right.
I need to go home and watch it. I'm going to go home and watch Spotlight and Nomadland in the next couple of
days.
But
wait, what if your favorite film does? So you'll veto the next one, he says then, if you don't
get it. Not what he wants. What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
if you're
going
to be unreasonable,
this is
Bruce, I'll have to veto.
If he
again.
Vetoes a movie and then I have to pick another movie.
Yeah.
Okay. But then if he
well,
picks
you know
a movie
what you pick.
Afterward, I can veto
He's
him.
Run out of vetoes, so you can pick what you think might be number one to stitch him. Yeah. Okay. Well, this
hang
is
I don't
hot
have to
stuff.
Use my veto.
You don't. You aren't using it now because you can use it on the next. You've also can use it on the next.
Okay.
Turn.
Leave Nomadland because
are you sure?
I feel there's something dirty about vetoing something if you haven't seen the movie.
That's very respectful of you.
Yeah, I reckon. Because, Herschel, I think you'd love it. It's exquisite.
Would I love it?
Oh, it's exquisite. It's just, you know, incredible.
Bruce is fighting.
I'm fighting so hard for this movie.
The bullshit meter's on high. Wow. All right, so it survives the evil Herschel vetoing it. Bruce, now you need to give me position number two. You both have one veto left each, Herschel. I don't need to remind you.
I'm scared I'm going to go.
Bruce is writing it down on a piece of paper, and he has chosen... This has to be a trolling moment, surely.
No, what are you talking about?
I thought this would be at number one, 100%. Okay. A film that opened our podcast. If you haven't listened to episode one, Parasite versus Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you should listen to it. Bruce has selected it. Number two, Parasite by Bong Joon-ho. Herschel, thoughts?
But if I veto this, I can't put it into number one, can I? It's out.
You also veto. No, you can then use it in your turn at number one. All right, listeners, what's going to happen here?
This is the one movie I absolutely feel so strongly about. I'm vetoing that. Well, I'm interested to know what your number two is.
Very interested. Yeah.
Okay.
And if you didn't like Nomadland, so that is now vetoed officially. Bruce, give me a new position.
I have to play my number 100%. One. It's not. I have to play
this
my
is
number
what you
one.
Think number one is, and you're putting it at number two?
Yeah, I'm putting it at number two.
And Bruce still has one veto left. Oh, wow.
Is this a surprise?
I mean, it makes sense that it's the kind of thing that Bruce would be into. A bit of, I believe, is it Coen?
A bit of softcore porn.
We're talking about the Coens.
No Country for Old Men.
It's No Country for Old Men.
That's my number two.
He's played it at number two. Herschel gets what he wants. Bruce, talk about No Country for Old Men. And why is it number two on
it? It's a perfect movie. It's the best of all genre, the best style, the best. I think the Coens outdo themselves that they had in Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got Javier Bardem doing one of the most creepy
villains.
Figures in it. Yeah. And also, can I say, it's a genuinely poetic, philosophical Western. And how many of those are there?
I think it's the best money-chasing, identity, complex suspense movie all time.
No Country for Old Men. We're talking 2007, by the way.
The other thing is I'd say is that this is based on a novel by a guy who wrote The Road, which is also adapted later on, Blood Meridian. So I don't know. Have you guys read No Country?
I can't read books.
Okay, if you read the if you read the first chapter, it's where Sugar goes along with his machine, but when you read it, it's like you're reading. What it is, it's a literary work, but it's going around killing people.
Yeah.
So it's crossing over like Silence of the Lambs with something you'd study in a literary, American literature class.
I used to teach a course on adaptation, and we would look at the novel of No Country and the film. And it was just fantastic because McCarthy was a writer who thought in some way, he liked to sketch things cinematically as well. So it lends itself to an amazing visual sensibility. So when the Coens get to it, it's just perfect for what they're doing.
The other thing is that if you'd have taken this movie, the source material is incredible, but if you'd have taken it and given it to someone else, I think where the Coens strike gold here is that they're minimalist by nature.
Yeah.
So, for example, didn't we all see this at the movies?
Yeah. No, I saw this at Dendy by myself the first time. Then I think afterwards
we all went.
Yeah. The one thing that threw me was, and one thing I got confused about, right, it's a complex, quite a long movie, is they never show Josh Brolin's murder.
No.
It's never shown. He's the seminal character in the entire movie, and yet we never see that act. No Country is an exceptional
I had No Country ahead of Parasite.
Wow. Well, we don't know Parasite's going to come in at number one yet.
Herschel could make a play for Return of the King.
It could be
one.
Return of the King, finally. Yeah. Okay, so Herschel, I need you to write down now. I want to tell the listeners what else was nominated in 2007. These are pretty good films. Atonement. You like
That's
Atonement?
A good film. Yeah.
Great Juno. Movie. I mean,
I've never been the biggest fan, but it's okay.
But it was a culturally defining moment. Yeah. You know,
definitely.
Michael Clayton.
That's great a great movie. Yeah. No, Michael Clayton. All right. If you haven't seen
Michael
Clayton in a long time.
And There Will Be Blood.
There Will Be Blood. I mean, obviously, we're talking like, so that's the year of just, you know, that's 1994.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, an impossible to imagine year.
Yeah. All right, so now let me read the list whilst Herschel writes on a piece of paper his number one pick. Our list for the seven best movies that have won Best Picture Oscar since the year 2000 goes like this. Number seven, Chicago. Number six, Spotlight. Number five, The Departed. Number four, Moonlight. Number three, Nomadland, surviving the vetoing there. Number two, No Country for Old Man. And at number one, Herschel has written on a piece of paper, and Bruce, you still have a veto, don't forget that.
Imagine I veto this.
What?
No, that was a gag.
That was a gag.
He's written the word.
Bruce, guess what movie I wrote down?
Argo.
Argo's not the worst movie. It's close to the worst.
I mean,
it plays like a heist. Like getting the people.
Argo's all right.
All right.
No, okay. Obviously, I'm going with Parasite.
Parasite, right.
I think, aside from the hullabaloo about the first foreign film ever to win Best Picture, aside from the silly Donald Trump comments and all of that stuff, it just happens to be, in my opinion, one of the great investigations into class. It's one of the great satires. It's a comedy and a tragedy and a work of incredible violence. I was blown away when I saw it. I said to both of you, mm-hmm. the first time I ever came across this movie was it got released earlier overseas than it did in Australia. I saw that poster with the black line across the face. And I thought...
That became such a major poster.
Oh, yeah.
It really signaled.
Okay, so I then started seeing, Metacritic was incredible numbers. And I'm thinking, what the hell is this movie about? When I saw it, for me, that's the testament to how great a movie is. I didn't expect a hell of a lot from it. And still, I was blown away by it. There are scenes that will always stand out for me when they're trying to find the Wi-Fi, when the kid's drawing the ridiculous drawings, but you know, his art tutor, the daughter, so the sister,
is Rowan, the father's folding the pizza boxes as fast as he can. And he stuffs up an entire.
So many fantastic moments.
Great.
If you want, go back and listen to our episode on it from episode one of the podcast, which is. Parasite versus Texas Chainsaw Massacre. We look at family and violence and country versus city and rich versus poor. Mm. There's a lot of stuff in those two films there that we get to compare. So that is our list. You wouldn't do wrong watching one of them. If you want to see a good movie from the last 20 years...
I would pick one of those seven.
This is a pretty good list.
They are really... Look, they're top draw.
Yeah, this is a list that both the Academy and we think are good movies.
It is a great list. But it is shocking to me to think that I couldn't honestly tell you that there are that many more I would put in there.
Yeah.
Right? I'm trying to stretch my mind in terms of thinking, okay, we've got seven now.
I think I've got one in the nominations you guys are going to be
in the nominations?
That didn't get picked?
Okay, what about the lack of recognition, for the most part, for a movie like Brokeback Mountain?
Oh, of course.
No, but Crash did. Remember, that's the controversy.
But that's my point there. So what I was interested in prepping for this episode was movies that have gained in stature and movies that now nobody really talks about them anymore. When Brokeback Mountain was nominated, it didn't really win anything. The Annie Proulx short story I vividly remember reading this just before the Oscars, and the story really blew me away. Now, for other people who have read the story or have seen the movie, the other thing I want to say is, that love story as seldom been bettered, in my opinion, in the history of movies. In the history of movies, it's that beautiful.
All right, well, if you want to watch a movie that we recommend from the last 20 years, you couldn't go wrong with Parasite, No Country for Old Men, Nomadland, Moonlight, The Departed, Spotlight, and Chicago. That is our top seven best picture winners.
You know what I love about that list?
Decades, yes.
There are three movies on that list. Two of them I haven't seen, and the third movie, Spotlight, I want to get back into again. Mm-hmm. So it's a good list for people who have seen everything, well worth revisiting.
Well, that wraps up our special Oscars season. We'll be returning at the end of next month with a whole new series of our regular show, Film versus Film. And let me tell you, have we got some crackers in store for your listening pleasure? Should we reveal one of them?
I think we should.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. Yeah. We've locked in three.
We have three
of the episodes, right?
All right.
And those three are magnificent.
Can I make a prediction? Because I was looking at our schedule when I was on my email today, and the movie that kicks off the pairing that kicks off the season, it wouldn't surprise me if our audience responds to it by saying, "That's my favorite pairing of the entire podcast."
Can I
say so
what that is?
That's our ace in the hole.
Well, let's tell people what
it is. I think
let's
go week two or something.
But first of all, I'd like to say this came out of Matinee Cafe. We were meeting Sunday morning at 7:30, like we do, having coffee, writing notes. Beck, who works at Matinee. Hello, Beck. She came over and we said, what two movies do you like? And these are the two movies she listed, and we realized that that's what we should do for episode one. We're talking about Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind versus The Princess Bride.
Yes.
What a bizarre...
I think it's fantastic.
You'll have to wait and hear how those two films are related and what we're going to talk about.
But I think they're two wonderful choices.
Yeah.
But I do want to say this season I'm really excited by, because I think the first 3 weeks are just magnificent pairings.
And the other two, well, you'll just have to wait and see. But we'll give you your homework at least a week out.
Yes.
You'll get to know what those films are.
In relation to the other two, if you enjoy mystery and intrigue and being forced to the edgier seat and grabbing your armrests, then you're going to enjoy these movies.
We've got some exciting things coming out. We've only worked out three. We've got to work out the other eight or nine of them. We're going to do 12 this season.
We've got one special guest episode, though.
We do have a special guest episode. And we may have other special guests coming into the studio. So join us for that. Boys, is there anything else you want to talk about? First of all, Bruce, where are you going in the next month or so? You're off somewhere?
Yeah, I'm going to Oslo from April 12th to May 12th.
With some nerd stuff, some academic?
It's like a research fellowship, working on various things, doing some papers. I know some people at Oslo University.
Yeah.
I was just, you know, surfing the net today, like things to do in Oslo, and it's the first time I've started getting excited.
Mm-hmm.
So I got my own little apartment, Airbnb booked.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, Bruce is off doing.
I'm gonna walk around a lot because I'm like a 30-minute walk from the university.
It'll be cold.
Isn't that supposed to be like an amazing place to walk?
Yeah,
it's
I think so. It's gonna be cold. It's about 10 in the day.
Oh. And Herschel, you did you want to announce? I mean, we probably shouldn't go into too many details, but we've also got something planned. Film versus Film has been asked to do something in the next year.
I don't want to get into too much detail, but we got contacted by some people who are interested.
I think we can say the company's name.
Okay, so Arrow Blue, a company called Arrow Releasing, who actually, if you go online, you look them up.
They're fantastic. I started looking into what they do.
They release some of the most interesting stuff, prints of great, great movies that are actually incredibly hard to come by, but they release these fantastic editions. We've been asked to do a commentary track for one of the upcoming releases, which is incredibly exciting.
It is very exciting. They want a very... a Film versus Film Western Sydney boys
perspective. I was really grateful that they said, hey, what we want you to bring are your personas.
Yeah.
Like, be who you are.
And
don't do a kind of stuffy commentary. We want it to be.
And it's an exciting film by a director who does blockbusters.
It's not like, oh man, they told us to watch something and we hate it.
Idiot Box this is or something. Actually, it's not like a bad Aussie.
No, this is actually a very good. And the other thing I say is, it's an incredibly ambitious movie by a young director. Aiming to hit it out of the park. So you can't get anything more exciting to talk about than, you know, when this thing came out, the way time has moved on and other things that have impacted it. It's going to be very cool.
So we'll have more details on that. We're recording that very soon, and that's going off to England, where it's going to be released as a Blu-ray. And at that point, we'll be able to announce it on the podcast. So look out for that. I'm working on an exciting show for ABC Indigenous. I'm mentor producing a cool young team as we interview famous Aboriginal athletes about the funny things that have happened to them in their career and recreating those in sketches. It'll be very similar to Charlie Murphy's Hollywood Stories. You remember the one with Prince playing basketball? It was on a Dave Chappelle show.
Dave Chappelle plays Prince.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What we're doing is a very similar format, but we're hitting up famous...
But is it as uncouth as that?
It is pretty uncouth. Some of the interviews we've been doing, we've gone, oof. We randomly ran into a dude who was recording Play School the other day and go, you're a famous sprinter. Do you have any story? And he goes, yeah, I vomited on a reporter once. We go, great, come into the studio then. So we're filming these excellent stories and then recreating them just like that format. So I'll have more information about that later in the year. Well, as that's it for our mini Oscar season. Join us in about a month's time as we kick off our third season with some very spectacular films. The first episode being Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind versus The Princess Bride. As always, don't forget to rate and review us wherever you listen, as it will help other people to find us and share it with your friends. If you like the podcast, please tell them to have a listen. We're also on Instagram at Film versus Film Podcast. Thank you all for listening. I've been Craig Anderson.
I've been Herschel Isaacs.
I've been Bruce Isaacs.
Join us next time for Film versus Film.
Take two.
Film versus Film.